Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. A close relationship with our kids is a gift, but it's possible to become so over-involved that our kids don't learn to spread their wings. And how does that hovering helicopter mode impact us as parents? Courageous Parents, Confident Kids, Letting Go So You Both Can Grow is a unique resource from Amy Thiemann, PhD, the celebrated author of Mojo Mom, Nurturing Yourself While Raising a Family. Thiemann is also an educator, speaker, and creator of the popular online resource MojoMom.com, featuring her blog and the Mojo Mom podcast. This new book releases both parents and kids to fully enjoy the comforts of the nest and the ability to explore and grow beyond it. Courageous Parents, Courageous Kids provides the practical skills and inspiration every family needs to grow up together. The book serves as a guide to sustainable parenting that makes letting go a safer and happier process every step of the way. Amy, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to be with you.
Yes, Amy, thank you so much. Amy, I loved your book, and it is a must-read for all parents and caregivers. And in the introduction, you talk about how things have changed over the years and how parents today are bombarded by the, quote, baby industrial complex. And I thought that was such a brilliant term, and you write, quote, the baby industrial complex has exploded into a trillion-dollar mom marker of products and services, many of which are unnecessary. And one of those very unnecessary products, which I was shocked to read about, is called the Baby Plus Prenatal Education System. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, this is the baby industrial complex is something that the author Pamela Paul brought to the forefront with some of her writing, because it is a huge factor in how we feel about parenting. And to me, the Baby Plus is just the gadget that epitomizes this. What it is it's this little pod that's this little electronic ticking pod that a pregnant woman is supposed to strap to her belly, and it makes these patterned rhythmic noises, and the fetus is supposed to learn something from that while they're in the womb. And I'm a former neuroscientist, and just every fiber in my being is irritated by the entire concept of this, starting with the fact that, wow, it's not enough to just gestate your baby anymore. You have to be somehow forcing extra information in teaching your child something before they're even born.
Oh,
it's a little crazy.
It is totally crazy. And, you know, one of the downfalls you mentioned regarding the Baby Plus system is that these gadgets are often, you know, packed with unrealistic expectations relating to control. And if you can expand on that.
Yeah, well, their advertising language was really interesting, because the woman, I don't know if I can quote this exactly right, but they had a print ad in mainstream baby magazines that said, you know, this pregnant woman looking all serene and saying, oh, I know my baby's a boy. I know he's going to be named Ryan, and I know he's going to be calmer and happier because because of Baby Plus, or
yes,
something
exactly,
like that.
Yep. And brighter.
And brighter. And,
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You know, if there's one thing I've learned about motherhood, it's that you never know what's coming down the pike, and Baby Plus certainly cannot promise you that you're going to have a happy baby, a healthy baby, a baby that sleeps well. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, moms are really resilient. We can deal with the issues that life hands us, but it's not helpful to be told that, hey, if you just fork over $150, you know, you're going to have a head start, it's going to be easy. Nobody can promise you that, and that promise is part of what I think ultimately makes us, you know, disappointed.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, you also write about in the introduction about anxiety and how this combined with the baby gadget ads and, you know, you call it what you call our fear diet. And I know that you write there was a lot of things to be anxious about over the past 10 years, but people have taken it too far. And one of the things you talk about is, you know, the stranger danger, when in reality it's really people you know who are more likely, unfortunately, to harm your children. And if you can expand on this and that fear diet idea.
Yes, well, you know, even with the advent of 24-hour news cable channels, if you think about it, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, they didn't have to fill 24 hours a day with, you know, stimulating, exciting news. And so, you know, now when something scary happens, we hear a lot about it. But even things that maybe aren't that scary get presented in a way with, you know, sort of the pounding music, and, you know, they try and amp it up to make it interesting, but, you know, that can get your your fear centers activated, or, you know, even when something really scary does happen, if we see it again and again and again on a continuous loop, that's almost just re-traumatizing us continuously with that bad news. So I do get concerned about that, because I think we take it in so much, we think we're becoming numb to it, but really on a primal level, it's still upsetting.
Yes, it is. And, you know, when I was a kid in the 70s, you walked everywhere. I mean, I remember I would walk a mile to go to the grocery store to, like, buy something, and I would walk back. Or we'd ride our bikes way beyond our neighborhood, and no one batted an eye. And now if a child is walking more than a block, people seem to act like some crime was committed, you know. And that relates to that fear diet. And it also has to do with the helicopter parenting. And for people who aren't familiar with that term, if you can explain that.
Yes. Well, the helicopter parent, the image is that there's a parent who's hovering over their child so that the child never gets to do anything themselves. And this can be, you know, a fourth grader who's not allowed to walk a block to school, or it can be a college freshman whose parents are calling the dean's office and asking, why did my child get a C? You know, which is a completely inappropriate thing for parents.
I can't even imagine doing it.
Doing, but it's apparently happening. The worst thing I've heard, on one level, maybe the most surprising, is there are parents who have called employers to ask, you know, what can my child do to improve her chances of getting this job, or why didn't my child get the job offer?
Oh my goodness, how embarrassing!
If you can believe that.
Oh my gosh, I would hide the phone from my parents if that happened.
I know. I mean, my parents didn't really even, you know, they knew I was applying for jobs, but they didn't know exactly where. You know, they wouldn't even know where to call.
But
getting back to kids and independence, though, I think the way this conversation needs to change, and why I'm so glad we can talk about it, is we have to start looking at the downsides of what happens when kids don't get life experience and don't get to do things they should be able to do. That actually is making them less safe to not have any experience navigating the world on their own, because they're not going to wake up at age 18 and suddenly know how to do it.
That's true. You know, and I think that, you know, you talk about the heart of courageous parenting, and there's several different things, but that really is one of them, is that line between, you know, dependence and independence. And Amy McCready, who I adore, and I've had her on the show numerous times, you know, talks about fostering that independence and the way to do it. And the book, I just want to say, it's so great. You have this great quote where you say, across the country, parents are starting to take a fresh look at the goal of raising capable, competent, independent young adults. The question becomes, where do we go from here and how do we get there? And I just want to say that your book is a great place to start. There's so much good information in it about all of these issues.
Well, thank you. And I want to make sure to say that sometimes I write the book I need, and this is the case where I edited the book and I invited, it's a collaboration among 14 experts, including Amy McCready and other people who really know about their specific slice of this conversation, and bring that to the table. So I'm really proud to bring those experts, those voices together in one place. So I didn't have to know all these answers. I could get their take on it.
Yeah, it's so nice, you know. And in the first section of the book, you write about self-care for parents, and that is so important. I had a really hard time with that, and I think that should be a starting point for being a good parent, is you've got to take care of yourself.
Well, and I really wish there's a way to raise an alarm. I feel like I need to call 911 about the moms in this country. I'm really, really worried about all of us, you know, parents in general, moms in particular. I've been talking about this issue for about 7 years, and I don't really see it getting any easier for moms to take the time and invest the energy in taking good care of themselves. And what I'm realizing now is this isn't just about having a new baby. This is a lifelong issue. So I want to get women to think about sustainability, that this is your life. And what I'm realizing now is, as long as we spend taking care of our kids, we might spend more years taking care of and being responsible for our aging parents.
Yes.
And that's incredible.
So
this is not something we can power through. This is something we really need to be able to deal with on a serious level to realize that we're first responders in so many situations with our kids, with our spouse, with our parents, for ourselves. And you need to have that reserve. You need to keep your batteries charged because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow that's going to require more strength than you ever thought you had.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I ended up getting diagnosed with adrenal fatigue, which basically means my cortisol levels were so high from being at this constant state of stress. And I really, you know, I had to get help and slow down and figure out, like, yes, my child has special needs, but how do I get some balance? And, you know, in the book, there's a wonderful segment by Renee Peterson Trudeau, and she writes, self-care is about nurturing yourself on all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, so you can live, love, and parent optimally. And if you can give us an example of each type of self-care.
Well, it really is mind, body, and spirit. And it starts out so simply. It's even when you make breakfast for your family, did you eat breakfast yourself? Or did you feel like, sometimes you almost feel like you've eaten because you've fed everybody else, but it's so easy to forget yourself.
Exactly.
So really, it's are you eating? Are you sleeping? Sleep deprivation is a huge issue. That's something I really struggled with, and it's the kind of thing that can build up over the years. You really have to keep an eye on that and make it a priority. Then, you know, having connections, having a support network in place, which, you know, this should be fun. These are people you can hang out with and laugh with and have fun with and go out on those, you know, special occasions that you have nights out with your friends. But those people are going to be the people who come with you to the hospital someday or who pick you up on the side of the road when you have a flat tire or who pick your kids up from school because you have a flat tire. You know, they're the people you want to have on your speed dial. So the good news is it can be really fun to get to know them, but it's also really, really important.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I remember during those first few years, I barely got out of the house, and I remember a friend was like, you are meeting me for dinner. I don't care. You are meeting me for dinner. And it was really weird. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm out in the world. You know, I'm out of the house. And it was so good for me, and I realized that I really needed to do that more often. So I hope that women listening, if they're in a tough spot, they're going to try to do something that will really help. And the other thing that Renee talked about that I thought was great are these personal renewal groups.
I've done that in my own work with forming mojo circles. So I have my own group, and I also have a party kit that can help you form your own mojo circle on mojomom.com. And it has been great. For me, it's a combination of a personal and professional support group. But you know, last month when I was having a really hard time with my parents are facing a lot of issues. And by the way, if you're an only child and or if your parents are divorced, you want to pay even more attention to this because extra complicated things are going to fall on your plate. But I just told my mojo circle last month, I said, I'm just have so much pressure on me right now. If you would please just call me up and make me go out to lunch with you, in May and June and over the summer, just keep calling me and make me put fun things on the calendar. I would really appreciate that.
Oh, that's really nice. Well, if you're ever in Boston, we'll definitely go to lunch.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
We can support each other, but I am sorry to hear about your parents. It's really tough. I mean, there's so many issues. You've got the kids and you've got the aging parents, and it is so complicated. And, you know, you mentioned a moment ago that there was some professional involvement with the Mojo Group. And, you know, Kelly Hatcher and Marianne Perrin, they write Tools for Career Reinvention, and they are the founders of Balanced Professionals, LLC, and they write, quote, part of being a courageous parent is putting time and effort into thinking about long-term parenting, career interconnectedness, and remaining flexible to deal with immediate parenting career dilemmas. And they say that the key to this is being intentional. And I think a lot of the book, again, you have to have this intention. It's not just going to magically happen, that you have to think about these things and put planning and time into it.
Definitely. And take the long view. I really want to encourage parents to take a lifelong view of their career, you know, career path and life path. I think one thing that can happen, especially when you have your first child, is your life changes a lot and you feel like it's always going to be that way.
Yes.
You know, like those really intense early months and, you know, first few years of motherhood. But the truth is it keeps changing. And so, you know, for me, when I was 8 months old, I'm sorry, when my daughter was 8 months old, I just felt like I want to be with her forever. I never want to go back to work. I just want to be in this moment, which was kind of wonderful for that moment. But, you know, a year later, I was really ready to do something new and go back to work and still be, you know, excited to be a mom, but my feelings changed a lot. So you really want to professionally keep your options open and always have a plan B. So if you're at home and not working right now, what's your plan for going back to work? And if you are employed, what's your plan if things change? If you got laid off, what would your backup plan be? Or if you had a sudden increase in family responsibilities, you know, what's your plan for that, which could involve, you know, an alternate career you could apply for. It can involve really focusing on having an emergency fund, which every family needs right now in this economy because it's so hard to get a new job. And really, again, that intentionality, that planning, that thinking about what you would do if you had to become the primary breadwinner or if you had to become the primary caregiver.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and speaking of primary caregiver, you have some really great stuff in the book about parenting styles. And Maya Frost writes in The Courage to Let Our Kids Solve Their Own Problems, quote, bold parenting requires some serious work on ourselves in order to let our children grow up.
Really think about sometimes, you know, you might have your private thoughts and worries and fears, but sometimes you need to keep those feelings to yourself a little bit. I mean, my daughter, for example, she just left today for – she left at 5 o'clock this morning, got on a bus with her whole class to go to the mountains for 3 days with the 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders. And
oh, wow.
It's an absolutely wonderful opportunity. They do it every year, so she's been before. She's really, really excited. She was literally just jumping up and down yesterday and jumping up and down this morning at 4:15. She just was so excited to go. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, I'm really going to miss her. The house is going to feel so weird without her here. But you know, I can't lay that on her. I need to deal with that myself and let her go and be happy that she has this opportunity and that she's, you know, ready for that adventure.
Yeah, so, you know, at that, well, I bet she's going to have a great time. Another thing that really stood out to me was Melissa Stanton encouraged you to become your own parenting expert. She touches on a friend of hers who took what the expert said a bit too far and, you know, already had her discipline method picked out, I think, when her daughter was, I mean, when she was pregnant, and I thought it was funny how Melissa said something like, I don't think I'm going to need a timeout for, you know, a newborn. It's like she kind of went overboard. And, you know, I also love what you said in the beginning of the book, in the introduction about what to expect when you're expecting. I had a hard time with that book. I found it to be so, it just seemed so black and white. And then having a child, again, who had, it's very much written for people who have just kids who are neurotypical. And none of my daughter didn't fit any of it. But I think even if you have a kid who does, it just doesn't, it makes you kind of feel bad if you're not doing everything just the way they say.
Definitely. And again, it's, you know, I found that so many of the times our reality is pretty good, even if it's difficult. But we get these expectations built up in our mind. And again, this is where that whole baby industrial complex, you know, they get you so built up about the miracle of birth. And I feel like they drop you off on the, when you have birth and, you know, you wake up the next morning and it's like you're faced with the rest of your life. And that lady who wanted to sell you the expensive, you know, wall hanging for the nursery, she's not there at 2 a.m. to help you when things get tough. But so many things from gadgets to, you know, stories you read in magazines, they build up your expectations to a point where nobody's reality can match up to that. And so just to inject a little honesty into the situation that it can be hard, you know, your best laid plans can be derailed quite often.
Yes.
But really that's not okay, that is still, life is still okay, and you'll find a way to get through it. And I think, you know, in Melissa's chapter about the mom who had picked out her parenting style and everything, I think, again, we want to hold on so tightly to the idea that we can control every outcome. And as you know, that's just not true. And it's kind of a real maturity to accept that we can't make things turn out always the way we want them to.
Oh, another thing that I'm sure a lot of women are going to relate to, and men as well, is Jamie Wolfe. I worry too much, but how do I stop? I mean, that's one that I struggle with too.
Yeah, I talk a lot about worry. I had a whole chapter on that in Mojo Mom as well, because again, it's like this talisman, this like magic pebble we think we can hold on. Like if we worry about the right things, they won't happen. And I can totally understand that wish, and I have it too sometimes, but I think of it as though, you know, if you're on an airplane, worrying about the plane isn't going to keep it in the air, even if it feels like it does. And the reason to really think about that, though, is not just that it doesn't work, but like you said, with, you know, you experience adrenal depletion, that when you worry, you're releasing stress hormones into your body,
yes,
which are very destructive. We're not designed to have stress hormones flowing all the time. So there is a real cost to worry, physically and, you know,
yes,
mentally. So it's worth becoming mindful about. And, you know, some forms of actual fear or, you know, actual danger signals are very important, and we want to listen to that. But it's that background static, that habit of chronic worry that we really, it's really worth paying attention to that and just dialing that down, because it's really not doing us any good.
No, it's not. And actually, next month I'm going to be interviewing a woman named Carol Ward, who wrote a book called Worried Sick, and it's really good. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Yeah, it's a really great book. Something that I think is so important is community. And you write, quote, "One of my biggest lessons as a new mother was that no matter how capable and competent I could possibly be, I was not going to be able to do it all on my own. I needed friends, family, and community."
And no matter what your situation is, whether you have family nearby or not, or whether you're close to your family or not, you can build this network with other, you know, friends.
I just want to thank you so much. And Amy, if you have anything that you want to add before we conclude, this has been really delightful.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled to connect with your listeners. I'm always coming up with new information to share with my readers, and I try and put as much of it on mojomom.com for free as I can. So just would encourage your listeners to check out what we have to offer.
You can reach me at itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.